more trouble than what I already am, for sure. Father, we ask that you'd bless now this time in your word, Father, as the events of the world interrupt our schedule in Luke's gospel. Father, we pray that today you would open up our hearts on this fast track moment to get out of your word, just a line by line, blow by blow, as it were, analysis of what's going on around us, that as Christians, we ought to be looking up for our redemption draws near. Lord, help us to be ready, to be fruitful, to be productive, to be making a difference in our culture. And Lord, to stand for the Word of God without fear and always, always looking up for your near return. For that's what your Bible teaches us. And so that's what we will believe. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Grab your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Peter this morning, chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We're going to be using that as our launch point this morning as we jump back to an ongoing series that we have here at this church. We don't know when the series is going to happen. We let the Lord dictate that through world events. We haven't been together in a long time on this ongoing series, but it is the Get Ready series. And today we're looking at what the Bible says about our day. What the Bible says about our day in the Get Ready series. And we're looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, where the Bible there says, Peter says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to take heed to as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Peter is saying, listen, time is going to come. There'll be an age that as you approach that age, there's going to be more and more indicators that will usher in the reality of the day dawning when Christ, the morning star, will arise, will come. As Christians, we all long for the return of the Lord. That doesn't mean we sit idle. That doesn't mean that we disengage. That doesn't mean that we not care about what's going on. No, in fact, because He is coming back for us, we want to be more effective and more fruitful than ever before. But I know in a church this size, there are many of you here today that maybe you're a first-time visitor or you're not aware of what the Bible says. And when we hear the word prophecy or prophetic, we get all nervous. And you have all the right in the world, by the way, to get nervous. Have you been watching the news these last few weeks? All these prophetic cults that one guy's been prophesying about a doomsday baby. Have you seen about that? That when this baby arrives, it's going to bring about a nuclear war. There's all these cults running around grabbing all these wives, and some of them are children as wives. And division or breakoff of the Mormon church has been in the news these last 2 weeks with all of this polygamy stuff that's going on. And these doomsday are prophecy groups. You say, well, my goodness, Pastor, what are you? Who are you? Calm down. The Bible teaches prophecy. The Bible speaks on prophecy. Over 27% of the Bible is prophecy, meaning that God tells the future in advance. But one of the things, by the way, that Satan loves to do is attempt to tell prophecy. Attempt to speak it. You got to underline that word, attempt. He does a rotten job. Satan does a rotten job of trying to generate prophecy. That's why all the cults in the world have no prophetic, sure word like you have in your lap, like you have in your hands. The Bible basically says, and of course I'm making this up in a sense, I'm living it out in front of you. The Bible says, hey, you want to criticize me? Examine Bible prophecy. If you examine Bible prophecy, you will know that what God says is what God does. And the cults of the world have borrowed from Scripture, your Bible, and tried to put it into their writings to make it prophetic. And that doesn't even happen. God will not share His glory with another. And His glory is His awesome, inerrant word, the Bible. So as we look at these things today in our Get Ready series, what does the Bible say about our day and the day and age in which we live in? Number one, jot it down. Number one, what does the Bible say about our day? Number one thing is this, we need to be careful about a growing ignorance of Bible prophecy. A growing ignorance regarding Bible prophecy. We don't need to get nervous when we hear a study from the Bible regarding prophecy. We need to get educated. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, the Apostle Paul said, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Here's the reason why. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, wholesome. Doctrine able to bind up your heart, bind up your wounds, bind up your life. Because God does that. The scripture says that God sent out His word and healed them from all of their destructions. How does God heal us and strengthen us and prepare us for these days? By His word. So they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because of their itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, things that people make up. And that's going on today like never before. The Bible makes it very clear. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul the Apostle told the church at Thessalonica, I do not want you to be ignorant. The word is uninformed. The word can also be translated, I do not want you to be disengaged from the truth. You ever seen a train go? I mean, I've never seen a train go down the track and a car becomes unhitched. But think of that. That's what that word means. As a train is going down the track, one of the cars become unhitched. The Bible warns that in the last days, people, because of a lack of Bible application and understanding, their faith will become unhitched from the truth. And you can run your life and your faith into the rocks. Jesus warned about that. Paul warned about that. They will find teachers that will tickle their ears. And I just grabbed this coming into the office. I mean, I grabbed it in the office coming into here. Oprah's Gospel. Have you seen this? Oprah's Gospel. Well, that's the one ads. This one right here, Oprah's Gospel. Entertainment mogul preaches many paths to God. The Bible says that this is cult-like activity. Oprah does say you don't need Jesus to get to heaven. That puts her in direct opposition to the very, very clear revealed Word of God. But listen, people, how can you say that? She does great things for humanity. You know what? That's great. That's fantastic. With all her money, she should. I mean, let's be honest. She could buy some of those countries and turn them all around. That's fantastic. Here's my point. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but through me. Now I've got a problem. Come on, Oprah. Very, very important. Of course, we think of that and we have a tendency to kind of just smooth over it because she's such a sweetie, but it's what's coming out of her. She's got tremendous, tremendous influence. Bible knowledge is absolutely essential in these last days that we're living in. And since I offended some people regarding Oprah, let me go to this side of the sanctuary and offend the rest of you over here. Listen, we are combating. I was asked by a reporter. I was in Washington last week, as you know, and a gentleman came and he asked me, he said, would you be willing to speak at a gathering at the United Nations on global warming? I said, I think you got the wrong guy here. He said, no, I think I got the right guy here. I go, why are you saying this? He said, because I need you to speak to these people about what the Bible says regarding the issue of departure from the preaching of the gospel to the embracing of worshiping of the world. That there's so much worshiping of earth taking place that we need to be careful that we don't negate God. And I thought to him, I didn't say it. I didn't think it. I said it. I said, I want to know more. We have to be very careful. Is the climate warming up? Yep. Science shows us that it heats up and it cools down. It heats up and it cools down. You guys, I am not 1,000 years old. I'm just over 50. When I was younger, I remember when we were preparing for an ice age. And now the news is again, we think maybe for the next 12 years, there's going to be an increase in ice flow and things are going to cool down. Wait a minute. What is it? I'll tell you what it is. God's in control. I told that guy at the UN, I said, listen, he said, what do you think about global warming? And I kind of tricked him. I said, I believe in it. He looked at me. I said, here's the reason why. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, power is going to be given to the sun during the time of the tribulation period. And it will scorch a quarter of the men who live upon the face of the earth. That's global warming, brother. We need to know what the prophetic word of God says. And God bless Chuck Missler, who's here today, because he teaches the prophetic word of God. What does the Bible say about the future? We need to know it more and more. We've lost a dear hero, by the way, when Dr. John Wolverett, who was no stranger to this church, went home to be with Jesus. But buy every book you can by Dr. John Wolverett. Jesus said in Matthew 24:36, but of that day and of that hour, no man knows, nor the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days were in the time of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. For as the days before the flood came, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took them away. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. What's amazing about this is we are seeing false prophets and false prophecies all over the globe. Last year, it was the guy coming up from Mexico. Remember, he was declaring himself to be the Antichrist or Christ. It depends on what you wanted of him. Now, you never hear anything about him after he made his millions of bucks. Number two, what the Bible says about our day is an increase in global warnings, dangers, not warming, warnings, dangers. Jesus said in Matthew 24:1, as the disciples there departed with him from the temple, his disciples came and showed him all of the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all of these? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat opposite the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, listen to this. Number one, tell us, when will these things be? Number two, what will be the sign of your coming? And number three, when will be the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, notice this. They asked Jesus, when's all this end time stuff going to happen? And Jesus is going to be teaching them that it's going to be a progressive thing. It's going to intensify as time gets on. But if you know your Bible, you'll understand. He said, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name. The word is my authority, saying that they're the one to save the world, saying I am the Christ, and they will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Sounds like today's newspaper. See that you're not yet troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation, that's ethnos, will rise against ethnos. There will be more ethnic wars among ethnic groups, blacks and whites, yellows and reds, warring one with another. That's increasing worldwide. Kingdom against kingdom, that's political realm versus political realm. And there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. I tell you, these last 12 days have been amazing here in the world, isn't it? My goodness. All these things are the beginning of sorrows, he says. They're going to be ramping up. I'm just going to ask you, you don't need to jump up and yell. I think you already know the answer. Are we not seeing an increase in global famines? Are we not seeing an increase in earthquake magnitudes? Are we not seeing an increase in ethnic division? Are we not even seeing the United States so ethnically divided at a time like this, racially divided? Are these things not escalating? Jesus said there'll be days like this. He warned about that. He said, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you to tribulation. Not the great tribulation, but tribulation, hardship. They'll kill you. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And when many will be offended and will be betraying one another, will hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, no regard for law. Sounds like a Jerry Springer program. No regard for law. I don't care what the law says. Jesus said, because of that, the love for that men have one toward another in human kindness will evaporate. It's going to be gone. See, Pastor, I came here. You're scaring me to death here. Hang on. Wait till the end of the message. It'd be good for you. I just got to kind of get your attention right now. Listen, this is serious stuff. And we can open up the newspaper and watch what's going on. Point number three this morning is this. Point three, what the Bible says about today. Happy birthday, Israel. That's what the Bible says about today. Did you know that? Happy birthday. May 14th. That was pretty weak. I said, happy birthday, Israel. May 14th, 1948. This last week, Israel celebrated her 60th birthday, and I put it this way. Her 60th birthday for the second time. She's 60 years old for the second time. Israel, as a nation, thousands and thousands of years old. Only nation in the history of mankind that ceased to be a nation, as it were, geographically positioned there in Jerusalem. 2,000 years, God has brought her back into her own land exactly as the prophets foretold. This is exactly God's word. Happy birthday, Israel. And what does that mean to us? Number one, that God keeps His promises. My friend, if God does not keep His promises to Israel, you have no salvation. If God does not keep His promises to Israel, you have no hope of heaven. Because if He changes His mind regarding His covenant toward Israel, which is forever, He says, then how can you be assured of your salvation? You see, the truth of the matter is, I know that I'm going to be going to heaven because Jesus said so, the Bible says so, God says so. He'll never lie. He cannot lie. And how do I know? One of the great, if not the greatest exclamation point to my hope is found in one word, and that word is Israel. God keeps His word to the nation Israel. He's going to keep His word to you for your salvation. He will never depart. His covenant that He makes is forever. When you come to Christ, you're His. I want to underline this. Come to Christ. Don't play games with Him. Don't believe for a little bit and then quit and give up or give Him some token hello. Come to Christ. But happy birthday, Israel. I'm not going to read this again. It's not worth giving all that airtime to. But I read last service a little statement by Osama bin Laden regarding Israel's birthday. I'll sum it up with this. He simply says that America is guilty of supporting Israel. And how can they say that Israel's been around forever when obviously it's the 60th anniversary, bin Laden said. She's only 60 years old, which is hilarious because he admitted then that Israel's a state, which he's forbidden to do according to the Quran. Number two, he doesn't know history very good because Israel was around for thousands and thousands of years. How would you like to have Osama bin Laden try to tell Caesar that he's not invading Israel? 2,000 years ago, you don't know what you're doing. You're not invading Israel. How do you tell the Egyptians? How do you tell Pharaoh bin Laden that he didn't enslave the Israeli people? He doesn't know his history. You wander around the desert like that, and it's hot with that, all that clothes on. You're going to have a stroke. No, the Bible says in Isaiah 66, verse 8, who has heard such a thing? That's an astonishing, what? I'll be in Israel in a few weeks. It's like this, what? What do you mean? Isaiah 66, 8, what do you mean? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Shall a nation be born in a day? Then it says, for as soon as Zion came forth, she gave birth to her children. Is that not awesome? On May 14th, 1948, Israel was born. You can jump up and down and yell. You can go tomorrow. Listen, you can go tomorrow, this week. I encourage you to do it. Take a camera and go to Cal Poly Pomona campus. There's a huge wall going up tomorrow. And it is a complete revisionist of world history. And it says death to Israel and death to America. And they're going to be protesting. It is apartheid wall all against Israel. And there's all kinds of insane propaganda. Go to your university campus tomorrow. You're paying for it. You got to go look at it. It's on the campus. Park. Walk in there. Take a camera. It's outdoors. And look at the hate against Israel. And the Bible says in the last days, Israel would be a target again against anti-Semitic views, Nazism, when it comes to Israel. It's happening again all around the world. Just a few miles from this campus, on their campus at Cal Poly Pomona. You should go tomorrow. I think it's all week long, but I know it's tomorrow. No, the Bible says clearly, God is for Israel. That's what the Bible says about the day and age in which you and I live in. Listen, up until May 14, 1948, we couldn't have said what we just said. God said thousands and thousands of years ago that Israel would come back to be a nation again. By the way, I want to thank God for the statement. Some of us were praying together, dear God in heaven, please give Bush something profound to say when he's in Israel. And he said something profound. Did you read it? Quote, some seem to believe that we should negotiate with terrorists and radicals, as if some ingenious argument will persuade them that what they've been doing is wrong. We have heard this foolish delusion before. As Nazi tanks rolled across Poland in 1939, an American senator was heard to be said, "Lord, if only I could have talked to Hitler, all of this might have been avoided." We have an obligation to call this for what it is, the false comfort of appeasement, which has been repeatedly discredited by history. Some people suggest that if the United States would just break ties with Israel, all of our problems in America and in the Middle East would go away. This is a tired argument that buys into the propaganda of our enemies, and America rejects it utterly. Israel's population may be just 7 million today, but when you confront terror and evil, you are 307 million strong, because America stands with you. America stands with you in breaking up terrorist networks and denying extremist sanctuaries. And America stands within you firmly opposing Iran's nuclear weapons ambitions, permitting the world's leader and sponsor of terrorism to possess the world's deadliest weapon. That would be unforgivable and a betrayal to our future generations. For the sake of peace, the world must not allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. You might say, well, who cares if Iran has a nuclear weapon? Okay, normally, I hear you. Who's the president of Iran? Now, look, are you guys thinking? You're living right now today, right? You're living. Wave to me if you're alive. Can you hear me? Okay? Listen. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. That's his name. What did he say? You can read it. Why don't you just read it? He said, "Pastor, I don't like you." Hey, well, listen. Why don't you read what he said? You're not afraid to read what he said. He said, "We're not going to stop until Israel is annihilated." Okay, if somebody says, "You know what, I'm not going to be happy until I throw a cake in your face," don't give them a cake. You learn that in kindergarten, probably before. We want nukes. Why? Because we want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. They said so. It's not a secret. Amazing times we live in, do we not? Live in an amazing time. The Bible says in the last days, watch Jerusalem, watch Israel. Number four, I got to go very quick. In fact, we'll just breeze through this one fast, I think. What the Bible says about today, the increase in cults, false prophets and messiahs. Let's go to the screen with whatever we got to go to the screens with. We got something. South Dakota town watches polygamous sect. You've been watching this stuff in the news, you guys? Okay, all five of us. That's great. Utah, Arizona, reject polygamy. Listen. These are Mormon-type groups. Fringes of Mormonism, they say. This guy's got 21 wives. 21 wives. Okay, hold it right here. How many of you saw this? This came out in your news last week. Ah, it came to your house. The Messiah is here. Did you know that? Man, I thought it'd be a little bit cooler if the Messiah was here. Did you get that? Cooler? It's like 100 degrees outside. Oh yeah, Islam here, locally, they've announced that the Messiah is here. The Messiah, they call it the Jews, they said in this article. The Jews call him the Messiah. Christians call him Christ. The Islamic Savior is here. You got to get to know him. He's over here in Pomona somewhere. Look, I'm not... Hey, that's... Listen. It's in the paper. That's a full half page ad there. Came out this week. Jesus said, "Watch out! False messiahs are coming." And now, if you're not a believer this morning, I'm not asking you to roll over and call yourself a Christian, but you ought to sit up and say, "Well, that's pretty wild. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, said there'd be nutcases like this." You say, "How can you say that?" Because I have an armed car waiting for me, I guess, you know. We'll kill you! We'll kill you for saying that! I was talking to Dr. Dobson the other day, and he said, "You know, after Monday, pray for me. After tomorrow," he said, "you better be careful after tomorrow." I said, "Then what'd you ask me to be on your show for? What is that all about?" This is very interesting. Leave this up for a moment. Listen, and we're not here to make fun of anybody. We're here to give you the freedom, the deliverance that comes through Jesus Christ and Him alone, what He did on the cross for us. Listen, carefully, listen to this. Jesus said that He's the way. Remember that? We talked about that. If Jesus is the way, there's no other way. He died in vain. I got news for you. He did not die in vain. So there is no other way. Okay, Jesus rose from the dead because He's nuts about you. He loves you. He did that for you and I. Now watch this. This is in the Los Angeles Times. What's interesting about this is the article compares the similarities between Mormonism and Islam. Well, number one, if you're a Mormon here today, we're blessed that you're here. But let's be honest. If you die as a Mormon, you go to a male heaven. Remember that. It's a man's heaven. You know what I mean? You have 200 wives and you make babies there. Mormon doctrine. 200 wives. One guy, 200 wives. Mormonism. Now, you figure out which is the better deal. Read the fine print. Islam, it's a male heaven. You go to heaven in Islam, and you have 72 virgins. But read the fine print. It's 72 virgins and 72 virgins per 72 virgins. Dude, I don't know if there's like rivers flowing of Viagra up there or what. But check this out. They're called huris. And in Islam, when you have sex with one of these girls, she becomes a virgin again, all over again, in Islam. The two faiths have many similarities. Pastor, you shouldn't say that. I didn't. The LA Times said it. Jesus said, watch out in these last days. Pretty alarming, isn't it? I think that's enough with the thing. Let's go to number five. An emerging of a one-world belief system. We are coming to the advent of a one-world belief system. The Bible warns about that. Truth is always an obstacle to unity. Doesn't that sound strange to say? Think about it. Right now, the world is sacrificing the truth for some make-believe unity. Let's just lay down our differences and hug one another. But the Christian who knows his Bible cannot lay down his differences. My God, your God, rose again from the dead. Hey, yeah, but put that over here. Let's just come together. The Bible warns that there'll be those in the last days denying the faith, saying things like this. You know, as long as you believe in God, when I hear that, the hair on my neck stands up. Because I have to come back with that statement. Well, can I ask you which God you're talking about? Forgive me if I already told you this. My mind is a blur. It's been a crazy week. Did I tell you last week I got in a taxi cab in Washington, D.C., and the guy had a cross hanging around his neck, around his rear view mirror. And his name was his name was Ahmed Aden. Ahmed Aden. Or Adin. And I said, you have a cross around your mirror. He said, very, very timid like, yes, he's driving. And I said, oh. What's it for? And he said, what's it for? What's it for? I said, I'm asking you, what's it for? And he looked terrified. And he said, it's a cross. Christ. And I said, Christ who? He said, Jesus Christ. I said, you have a Middle Eastern name? Islamic name? Yes. Are you... have a cross. It's not, you don't do this. He said, I'm a Christian. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I said, I'm just testing you, brother. I did. I said, I'm just testing you, brother. And reached over and shook his hand. And the whole atmosphere cleared up after that. Do you realize that man is alone in this world, so to speak, from where he's come from. But he said, I'm a Christian. Bold enough to hang that there to make a statement. We need to be so in love with the truth that even if it costs us our lives, we die for what's right. And not only what's right, but what's eternal. The Bible says in Judges 21:5 that in those days there was no king in Israel. And so everyone did what was right in their own eyes. A believing, strange, all-encompassing, emerging world system is coming. Number six. the implementation of a global financial network. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that there's going to be a global financial network. Now, last time in our series, we already covered the Mark of the Beast and Revelation chapter 13 and all that stuff. I'll just add this to our ongoing series. How do you stop the war on terror? Drug trafficking? How do you stop this horrible thing where many ladies from our church went up to L.A. for this conference on the human sex slave traffic business worldwide? The bartering and selling of souls. How do you stop it? You dry up the money. You drop the money, it goes away. How do you stop that? You remove currencies. Well, how do you do that? You implement a numerical transaction system. Where do you get that idea from? Revelation chapter 13, beginning, I think, at verse 9. Read down from there. The Bible says in the last days, people on earth will make their transactions through numerical transactions, no currency. Why do I bring that up? Because look at the rise and the fall of currencies and how unstable the world market is and all that's going on. And we got a wake-up call this week. Now, I know that I am a news freakaholic. I mean, if you come to my house, it's like CNN. It's pathetic. You don't want to come to my house for fun. But did you see what happened this week? After George Bush left Israel's birthday party, he went to Saudi Arabia. And he asked the Saudi king, can you give us more oil? Can you open up your valves and let more oil flow? Because Americans are paying almost $4 a gallon. Go online and read it. They said, read my lips. No. Now, he was strong in Israel. I'm hoping somewhere behind the scenes, Bush would have said, no, you mean no opening the oil valve? Or no more we send you F-16, F-18, surface-to-air missiles and JDAM bombs. Which knows no? Because if you don't open the valve, you're not going to get no bombsy-wombsies. Did you know that we supply them with tremendous military armaments? But here's the point, truly. They don't care anymore because they can get it from Europe better. This is sad. The dollar... I'll read it. The oil minister said, no increase in oil. Your people are in debt. Your mortgage situation is dangerous. And your dollar is not worth much. That's what he told Bush's people there. You can read it. Ouch. Number 7. Watch. Put your eyes on the screen. Oh, this is horrible. I have a Wachovia security guys, and with what stuff we have, I asked him, we need to get some mutual funds. So I got this thing in the mail. Welcome to the family. I opened it up. I bought some of this stuff. Can you read that? Everything looks normal, doesn't it? Except what is that freaky looking thing? Looks like somebody sneezed in the corner of my page. Everything looks fine until I come down to Zaka. Zaka. Click on Zaka. Click on Zaka. Zaka, third pillar of Islam. I can click. Oh, look at the Quran. Next page. This is from their website. This is a link from Wachovia over to Amana Mutual Funds. Listen, there's another box you can click if you want to help send a poor Muslim to Mecca. I can donate to his Hajj. Yeah, don't look at me like that. You go check and see what you're investing in. How many of you have heard of Citibank? Anyway, before you have a heart attack, let's just keep going. You see the world I live in? This is unbelievable. Number 7, quickly, the increase in violent activity around the world. Violence. How sad is this? The food shortages. That's something enough. but violence increasing in the world around us. Jesus warned us in Luke 21:26, men's hearts will fail them for fear when they see the things that are coming upon the earth. How sad is it this week, just the violent activity that we've seen in countries like Egypt, rioting for food. We have images of that, and you can just scroll through those if you would. Rioting for food, world hunger problems rising. It's absolutely tremendous. One in six countries facing food shortage. Here's a story. OPEC, oil-producing nation, stands silent while oil prices spark food riots in neighboring Egypt. Amazing. Over and over again. Oh, wheat now. This is amazing. Science Daily. There is a wheat rust. There is a rust that's attacking world wheat supplies and causing wheat to rot in their store bins around the world. Read the scientific article. See, I thought you were going to give me some good news. It's coming. Wall Street Journal. Food inflation. Riots spark worries for world leaders. Is that not a prophetic front page of the Wall Street Journal? Jesus said in the last days there's going to be famines. Matthew 24:6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that your heart's not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and pestilence and great earthquakes in different places. I don't need to talk about what happened in China. You all know that, right? They just had a 4.5 or 5.4 aftershock this morning for service. Who knows how many are dead? The escalation of disasters, natural, around the world. Look at number 8. Signs in the skies. So what are you bringing that up for? I didn't want to bring it up. I was forced to bring this up. The Pope made me bring this up. Did you know that? The Vatican this week. The Vatican said, aliens are real. Aliens are real. That's great. Listen, in Matthew 21:25, there will be signs in the heavens, Jesus said. He said, what do you think? Hey, listen, are you with me here? I believe UFOs are real. I believe they're demonic. I believe people are going to see things and they're going to wind up thinking, oh my goodness, look, the Pope is right. God made other things in other places. It's going to be demonic. People talking about, I got transported up into a ship. I think that was a demonic experience. I think it's satanic. Jesus said Satan's got the power to transform himself into an angel of light. If he can transform himself into an angel of light, becoming some ugly, gray, skinny thing with big eyeballs is nothing. It's demonic. I don't think there's other stuff from other planets. I think they're from hell. And they're here to deceive and trick people away from the gospel. Number 9 was natural disasters. I kind of covered that a little bit. We're running out of time. Here's number 10. Number 10 is this. A departure from faith and reason. Jesus warned, the Bible warns, in the last days there's going to be a departure from faith and reason. People are going to lose their minds not being able to think straight. You guys, it's bizarre what people think. And the decisions now in courts and in other places of what's going on about decisions being made. It's very, very tragic. I mentioned about global warming. I'll bring this up. Selective human rights. Isn't that amazing? Selective human rights. That's an amazing thing. That's the wrong slide, but that's an amazing thing. Selective human rights. What does that mean? Those Christians in the Sudan, who cares? They're only Christians. Let them die by the hundreds of thousands. Hear me out. Those people in Darfur, we'll do our bit. Selective in the value of our life, of human life. Because if something happens in some other part of the world, people will go ballistic. If an Israeli missile attack takes out a known terrorist and his innocent friend was traveling with him, Israel's guilty of genocide. But the world turns a blind eye to North Africa and what's happening. We should all be marching on the doorstep of the United Nations, demanding them. But they won't do a thing. Selective. Human rights. This is a critical time. As I just reflect on this week, last 12 days of news, a horrific, horrific storm in Burma, Myanmar. They said it's 10 times worse than Katrina so far. The earthquake in China. Wars and rumors of wars. The saber rattling that's going on. The fight for Jerusalem in the Temple Mount that's going on. The whole situation about the rebuilding and the re-advent of the Russian army. Russia's back. All this stuff the Bible talked about. But I'll end here. The Bible also said that Jesus Christ would die on the cross and be risen again from the dead for us. The same Bible also says that if you turn to Him, He'll forgive you of your sins. Forgive me. It's the same Bible who says there, I will never leave you or forsake you. It's the same God who keeps His covenant because He cannot lie. It's the same God that when we look at the world around us, Jesus said it, when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up, for your redemption draws near. Church, we need to get engaged and be salt and light. No more being idle. No more being spectator Christians. That's an oxymoron. It's impossible. We got to get involved. We got to be salt and light. Number two, we need to influence our culture for good, for righteousness and justice. Three, we need to get a clue that what Jesus said is very encouraging. When you see these things begin to come to pass, look up. Man, that would be awesome. And then he said in Luke chapter 21, verse 36, get ready. Because when he says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be found worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon the earth. Hot dog, isn't that great? Are you bummed? Are you scared? Listen, you should not be scared. This world is going the way that it goes without God. But you don't have to go that way without God. Let's pray right now. Father, we ask You, Lord, in Jesus' name, as we approach You, Lord, so much we could go all day long with what's happening. But Father, the main thing is the main thing. And that is, there is a heaven. That without Jesus, we can't get there. He bought the ticket. Paid for it with His blood. Made it possible for us. The absolute worst sinner. The most cynical, terrible, diabolical, ugly, mean sinner becomes the most precious crown of redemption. If today we would simply say, oh Lord, the same God who warns us about these things, oh Lord, You, in the name of Jesus Christ, be my Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, I open my heart up to Jesus now. And I ask You to make me a Christian, a real one, not a pretend, not a TV Christian, not a Christian that wears a t-shirt only, a real one. And Father, we pray that You'd fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Dear God, we thank You that as we leave this building today, all the things that are going around, we have You. And Lord, they're telling us it's going to get hot today. We thank You, Father, that for the Christian, this is as hot as it gets. We thank You, Lord, for Your love for us. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 Listen, Wednesday night.